Hey everyone, back again. Today I want to talk about Hannah Arendt's idea about the banality of evil, which is probably the idea and the term that I have been the most lied to throughout my own education, throughout my own philosophical journey. And I bet many of you have been lied to about this term too. That is, you were probably taught that Hannah Arendt's point with this term is to say that anybody could participate in a horror like the Holocaust, when that only scratches the surface of what Hannah Arendt was trying to say with Adolf Eichmann's trial in Jerusalem. Now, before I jump into it, hi, I'm David. I explain philosophical concepts and ideas and ways to make them accessible to you. So if you're new here, you can subscribe and see videos I release every single week, sometimes twice a week, if, you know, I have the time. You can follow me on other platforms. If you feel like helping me out monetarily, don't. Help out instead in one of the organizations I've listed below to help Palestinians in need. Because yes, this term and Hannah Arendt's idea about the banality of evil is inseparable from her own anti-Zionism. And I'm going to explain exactly why. Now, if you want more on this, starting this week, I'm going to be releasing a 4-part series every week, a new part on the entire book, on Hannah Arendt's Eichmann in Jerusalem. So tune into that if you want a more full-fledged understanding of her idea about the banality of evil and her understanding analysis of Eichmann's trial in Jerusalem. Now, many of you might not know what I'm talking about. In 1961, Adolf Eichmann, who was a high-ranking SS official, although not that high-ranking, SS official had fled to Argentina to avoid persecution. In 1961, he was captured by the Israeli forces illegally from Argentina and brought to Jerusalem to stand trial for crimes that he had conducted and committed in Germany, Hungary, Poland, Romania, primarily Germany. Now why? Why was he standing trial in a country that he had no part in Israel? Well, you'll find out in a few minutes. But this trial gained a lot of media attention. This trial was instrumental to the Israeli regime to convince the world that it was a legitimate state, and it was a legitimate state that Jewish people needed to defend against the evil that is anti-Semitism. But as far as the trial goes, it was decided way in advance. Everybody knew that Adolf Eichmann was culpable, and he got exactly what he deserved from that trial, from those trial proceedings. However, the trial was a lot more, did a lot more than just present the facts of what Eichmann had done, where his primary job in his role in the SS in Nazi Germany was to deport and move Jews throughout Europe, and in his early participation with Zionists, including other pronounced Jews in Europe, he worked with them to deport Jews to Palestine, where they would then displace millions of Arab people and kill many thousands more, all the way up till today, where we're seeing the Zionist project playing out with the blood of Palestinian children. Just this week, an Israeli airstrike killed 7 Palestinian children in a playground. And this is all connected to Hannah Arendt's idea about the banality of evil, how truly banal this kind of evil is, and how even Israelis can participate in this kind of violence. Now, within the trial itself, or during the trial itself, what I mean when there were many details that were presented that had nothing to do with Eichmann's crimes, because he was primarily responsible with moving Jews around, this trial included an astounding number of people giving testimony about their experiences in the Holocaust, which had nothing to do with Eichmann. It was instead a media spectacle to tell the world just how necessary Israel is and to ignore all the violence that has been necessary for Israel as a state to exert its own pressures on the region, to displace and murder Palestinians, to displace and murder Lebanese people, to displace and murder Jordanian, Syrian people. All of this is necessary, and a trial like this was meant to manufacture consent for these violent efforts that largely then assume the status of banality to the international community. Funny, huh? See how that works? Now, unlike the Nuremberg trials that had taken place a few years before, where the crimes that the highest SS officials were being convicted of were crimes against humanity, the trial in Jerusalem largely framed it as crimes against Jews. So it wasn't just that Eichmann was on trial here. Anti-Semitism was on trial, and rightfully so. I mean, the horrors of the Holocaust cannot be understated. And in this trial, Eichmann was illustrated to be the ultimate Jew-hating anti-Semite. He was painted in a way to take the entirety of European anti-Semitism, which was running rampant throughout Europe, by the way. This is one of Hannah Arendt's amazing other insights, is that anti-Semitism was just absolutely rampant throughout Europe. It had nothing to do specifically with Nazi Germany. It wasn't exclusively found there. Hungary, Romania, France, like these countries were extremely anti-Semitic. And this was erased in the Jerusalem trial, where Eichmann was depicted as this evil, like unhuman monster for everything that he did. And indeed, I believe he was as well. But this served the function of erasing all of the culpability of all of the other states, of all of his comrades, in executing his orders. And this was useful for the Jerusalem court and the prosecution, because if they acknowledged he was not purely the benefactor of just this unbelievable level of anti-Semitism, but rather it was the enterprise of the entire continental Europe, then this would begin to sever ties between Israel and many of the Western states that it depended on to justify its eradication of Palestinian people, which it was not in the interest of doing. So if this was truly a trial about anti-Semitism, it would have had to confront that. But Hannah Arendt, being a Jew herself, somebody who actually experienced unbelievable levels of anti-Semitism, had been incarcerated in France, very much saw through this and recognized that this was very much in the service of normalizing Israeli violence against Palestinians by framing anti-Semitism as this ultimate evil located among a few people that were then extrapolated to include all of the neighboring Arabic countries around Israel, where we have Netanyahu about a decade ago in the 2015 or 2014 saying in front of a group of Jewish, prominent Jewish intellectuals and prominent figures, that Hitler didn't actually want to kill the Jews. Hitler didn't actually want to impose the final solution until he'd spoken to a Palestinian. Like, what kind of whitewashing of the Nazi party is that we find among these Zionists? Very interesting. I mean, I'm just stating a fact. You can go and look that up yourself. How can we understand that as nothing less than whitewashing the horrors of Hitler's plan and the entire SS? Very, very important thing to hold on to and understand. Now, in all of this, beyond erasing just how broadly anti-Semitism was running rampant throughout all of Europe and all of the West, which would mean that Israel would have to condemn them as well, which they weren't interested in doing because they were their economic allies. Funny how anti-Semitism suddenly doesn't become a concern when power and money enters the mix. But beyond that, the trial also revealed that Eichmann saved innumerable Jews, and that Eichmann was absolutely horrified by the final solution. And he worked in the early days of his post within the SS. He worked with Zionists. He worked with the Jewish Council of Elders. He worked with the Jewish police force to help him round up other Jews. This is another point that Hannah Arendt points to and that haunts her, where she was like, how was it so easy for the Germans to actually round up Jews and to deport them to their deaths, to send them to the death camps? She identifies, and if you want more on this, tune into my other episodes or just look it up, the Jewish Council of Elders, it's just a fact that in the early days of the SS, between 1938, 1941, 42, the Jewish Council of Elders participated with the Nazi Party to realize their Zionist dreams of deporting Jews to, it could have been Madagascar, it could have been Argentina, there was even speculation it could have been Canada, but they ended up on Palestine to steal that territory from the Palestinians by cooperating with the Nazis, knowing full well what the Nazis were interested in doing, that is rendering the Reich completely Jew-free. And so when Arendt talks about the banality of evil, it extends far beyond saying that this is anyone can participate in the Holocaust, anyone can claim that they're just following orders, to also say that even people of a victimized group can participate in something like a Holocaust, can participate with their oppressor if it means that they will gain power or money or land out of it. And this is why she got in so much trouble for writing this text, something that I think at the time so many people were absolutely scandalized by, but maybe now, when many of us have seen the atrocities that Israel has inflicted against the Palestinians, maybe now it would seem more apparent. It would make a little more sense. In fact, we might really agree with Arendt's observations about how parasitic Zionism is and the violences that it inflicts in its effort to try to capture territory, in its effort to try and eradicate the Palestinian people, and how the international community, in all of its opposition, is meeting such resistance by the West. The West that's supposed to be standing in for whatever happened to democracy, when you have most states just this week voting to recognize Palestinian and its self-determination and autonomy, and the United States vetoing that. Where's democracy there? Why is democracy only used when it benefits the US? What happened to the rules-based international order, for example? Did this ever mean anything at all? Or were these just catchwords used to justify Western hegemony on the global South, on the Middle East, the expense of brown and black people all throughout the world? What kind of violence is inflicted in the name of democracy, in the name of the international rules-based order? And she wrote, when she was in Jerusalem, just how horrid the conditions were there for Arabic people, just how horrid the conditions were for Palestinians, and the life that they live being occupied by the Israeli forces, where Israel had for 75 years has kept these people in a state of arrested development, people in Gaza in an open-air prison, absolutely horrendous conditions. For those of you listening who might be like, oh, well, why do you suddenly care about this? Is it just because that you're anti-Semitic? I would certainly hope you go and listen to my other content. If you want all of the stuff that deals with the horrors of the Holocaust, you can check out Education After Auschwitz, very important text that I've covered. Maybe the entirety of Hannah Arendt's work would be in another important place to start. Or if you're interested in the stuff that I've covered that calls attention to, challenges, and tries to elevate consciousness about Israel's relentless violence against Palestine and Palestinians, go check out my episode from A.L. Wiseman called Lethal Theory, or Shirin Bembe's Necropolitics, just to show, like, I mean, this, it's so important that we acknowledge what is going on and understand this historically and contextually to understand Israel's relentless violence against Palestine and Palestinians, and not just to pretend that history started on October 7th when Hamas committed its horrendous attack, but to understand this world in its complexity and to understand it in all of its historical contingencies, because this is what makes us proper rationalists, to understand cause and effect, to understand that things do not just poof into the world from nothing. And yeah, this is my plea to please donate to one of these organizations, to put pressure on institutions to divest from Israel, to pressure politicians to make sure that they are not contributing to the ongoing mutilation, destruction, murder of children and babies on a daily basis in Gaza and in the West Bank, and that has been going on forever. We've been silent on this. We've treated this like a banal issue, and this is indeed, I think, the banality of evil. We're seeing it today. We are participating in this very violence when we are doing nothing. And yeah, on that note, take care.